The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw Dating, preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys, and broadcasting live from Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star.
Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw Dating, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We are so excited for all of you who tune in and listen to us every single week, and we have got a jam-packed show to kick off this Tuesday afternoon. Haley Sutton alongside Aisha Morrison and Jess Navarez, as we do every Tuesday. Reminder, we will have a special guest in our hot seat coming up in our second block. So we've got a special one today, so be sure you stick with us in that second block. Ladies, nothing's going on in this building today, right?
No, I mean,
not at all.
Not ever. What are you talking about?
Casual Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
The Odell Beckham Jr. sweepstakes continues. We were just told that he just got in the helicopter on the field, so he's on to the next step of his journey here at the Star with Jerry. But he's had quite the busy last couple of days in what Mike McCarthy described as the recruiting process. They are, of course, trying to outbid the Giants and the Bills to get him to come to Dallas. He did yesterday meet with the medical staff. He had a physical. He met with the Jones family. Jerry Jones this morning on The Fan telling the guys that it was a very long but a very good meeting. He described it, though, as a marriage. He said it has to work for both parties in order to be successful. What else did he do? Like I said, he went through a physical. He will not work out, though, which I find to be interesting. And It's kind of sounding like at this point he's not quite ready to play at this point.
Yeah. Well, what y'all want me to say? Like, no, because that's to me, that's the hard part, is that even when I started hearing the, you know, reports from the Giants and stuff, I was waiting for, like, oh, they worked him out, or they got to see him, and they were like, nah, he ain't doing none of that. And I was like, but how can this be? How can he not be, you know, because you got to see what the gentleman looks like, you know, if he's going to, and the Cowboys, as we were talking about earlier, ladies, are in a position to where they're ready to go win now. Like, they're trying to add two to go win right now. So it's a conflicting situation. And like you said, it does have to be a marriage. And there's financials involved. That's why I call fiancé's finances.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shady. All right. You know,
follow up that, Jess.
I have nothing to say about that at all. I am the wrong person to ask about that. I dropped a little bit of money on purses. Wrong person to ask about that. Anyways, what I was going to say was that I think this is proof to why Odell is such a flashy name, because he has that respect already, to where it's almost like, well, obviously you need to see him work out post-injury, but it's almost one of those things that, it's Odell, though. It's the name. It's OBJ. He's already so great. And just looking at his career stats right now, I mean, they speak for themselves. But again, from a medical perspective, obviously you have to see that. It is a very interesting choice, but it's a rare opportunity, like Jerry said on The Fan this morning, too. It's a rare opportunity to be able to even have Odell here and part of this conversation and potentially be part of this team at some point. But again, it just comes down to Jerry's favorite word, availability, right? It comes down to that. It comes down to timing. It comes down to, we're in the thick of December football now. I think this would be a very different conversation if this was happening, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, obviously. But where the timing of it stands now makes it an even more rare situation, I guess, is a good way to put it. Because if this was happening a month ago, I think it would be a bit of an easier decision to be made. But now that it's December, you're talking, you know, playoff potential, playoff contention. You're starting to talk, you know, seeding, NFC East, and everything that comes together during this time. It's interesting. And I definitely am glad we are not part of the meeting that happens to make that decision. There's a lot that goes into it.
And it's interesting that you bring that up, Jess. There's no shade on Odell, right? We've seen what he's been able to do in the past. But Jerry was asked this morning, you know, like, how comfortable are you signing a guy who you've not seen work out? And Jazzy, we've got that sound. Here's what he had to say about that question.
Well, I'm not confident at all. And so that's the issue. Now, we all realize that that issue of health, that issue of availability is here every time. Just this one is very obvious and very pointed toward his injury that he had occurred last year in the Super Bowl. So we've got a good beat on that. We've got a great read on his career. It's not like a draft pick coming at you. You've got a lot of history here, and you take a good look at everything, not only the obvious, and that's his performance, but also any issues regarding health. So all of this, we've got to come in with our eyes wide open, and it has to be addressed, and that's when you see if you can make a deal or not.
So what I find interesting about that is when the Odell rumors first started swirling was around the Green Bay game coming out of that bye week, right? And the initial reaction off the top was, get him here. He's going to make an impact. He's going to be a big deal. Get him here at, you know, whatever it takes. And now, to your point, Jess, of it being December football and preparing for the postseason, now all of a sudden it feels like Jerry's like, hold on, like, let me take my Cowboys fan hat off and put my business hat on. And it's just interesting how the dynamic has shifted. And so the question I want to pose to you ladies, because during that time when it was during the Green Bay coming off the bye, there was a lot of questions about that wide receiver room, who was going to step up, if adding Odell Beckham would kind of provide a spark to that. So when you think about where he's at, where he's potentially at, Odell, he's not working out. He doesn't feel like he's ready to go. He would be an addition that would maybe be an impact for the playoffs. Is the risk worth the reward of negotiating a deal for him to be on this team this week? This week, LOL, this season. Or this week,
hey,
I mean, shoot.
Smiley face, not laughing emoji.
I'm torn. I'm torn on it. I think there's so much conversation to be had also, too, about, you know, what free agency, the wide receiver free agency market
looks like. Oh, I have it
like
right here.
Going into next season. And, and those conversations are like, if he is a next year player, if that's something you want to look for. But, you know, the Cowboys are a draft team. They like to draft and develop. So this, it seems contradictory. Like, it seems, you know, at this point, especially with learning more about the timelines. And in fairness, when the Chicago Bears game happened, no, it was the Green Bay game happened, and then the push started for Odell, you know, Jay Glazer came out and said that he would be cleared that week, like, at the end of that week. And obviously, we're here, what, a month?
4 weeks later.
A month later. And it's still not what's going on. So there's also just been some mixed communication and stuff with what's going on. I think everybody's just trying to get on the same page and see if they can go for it. But as far as the receiver, this receiver core, they are showing that they can play well, you know, together and be productive. And with Michael Gallup coming back, all of this stuff that's happening, I feel like they are getting in a groove within themselves. If you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't, for me right now.
I want to add real quick to your point, because you brought up Michael Gallup.
Yes. And
he tore his ACL 6 weeks before Odell tore his. And so when you look at the timeline of Michael Gallup coming back, he was supposed to be back in, what, week three?
Yeah.
Told McCarthy, I'm not ready. Came back in week four. He did score a touchdown. That was good. But his production hasn't been really what we've have come to know about Michael Gallup since really last week, finding the end zone twice for the first time since 2020. So, I mean, that's kind of the outlook that you kind of have to look it on. That's a perfect comparison of, you know, do we want two guys on our roster who are that's 13 weeks into the season that it took Michael Gallup to be able to be back to what he's been.
And I think a lot of that too goes back to the mental side of things that we talk about a lot on this podcast. And it was really interesting to hear Jerry talk about that this morning on The Fan. And he said, you know, the trainers, medical staff within the Cowboys organization have said that a big part that is attractive about Odell is that mental capacity to play and be back on the field is already there. So that's a big jump for Odell in helping with the positives there. But going back to Aisha's point, I wanted to talk about the free agents that there is a laundry list of for the Dallas Cowboys next season. So just to name a few you may or may not know, well, Noah Brown, James Washington, Dalton Schultz, you even have people like, you know, Tony Pollard, Cooper Rush. I mean, there's just a lot. Brett Maher. And I'm naming some of these names that don't really have anything to do with the offense, because there's a lot of guys that you have to make sure, if you're thinking long term of Odell, you have to think forward about too, because of how the team looks right now. You want to continue that productivity going into future seasons. There's a lot of names you have to lock down going into next year. So it's one of those things that, you know, if Odell can,
I don't want to say settle. I think settle is not the right word. But if Odell and, you know, the Cowboys can come to a mutual agreement on price, on timing, on availability, all of that stuff, it might not be a bad idea. But again, you also just look at the rare opportunity to get Odell Beckham Jr. here. And I know it is huge. That is a very big name that, again, we talk about a lot, too, adds respect to that wide receiver core. It puts respect to their name. But I've also loved seeing the wide receiver core do that for themselves these last few weeks, this last month specifically. They've really broke through and they've come together. And we knew that would happen with more time with Dak on the field, not having, you know, a preseason and then not having any snaps, obviously, due to injury. So it's an interesting web that is being woven here with this Odell Beckham Watch Junior series going on at the Star.
I'd like to point out as well, Jerry was asked, had he ever done this before? Has he ever signed a guy who he never saw practice? And he's without hesitation, he said, yeah, Alonzo Highsmith. He said he had three doctors look at his MRI. They told him it was bone on bone. He's not going to be great. Jerry signed him anyways, and he never played. So just keeping all of that into perspective, we're going to continue to obviously watch the Odell Beckham conversation. But to your point, Jess, the wide receiver room really has woken up in the last couple of weeks, particularly with CeeDee Lamb. And what I have loved about CeeDee, before I kind of get into the details of just how much he's grown over the last four games, when he's asked about Odell, he's always very open. He's like, yeah, I'd love to bring him here. Could you imagine having both of us on the field? Who are they going to cover? Who are they going to double? Are they going to double me? Are they going to double him? So it does bring that respect factor as well. But give us CeeDee his flowers, right? We haven't used that term on here in a long time. The way he's developed over the last couple of games since the bye, 150 yards and two touchdowns against Green Bay, 45 yards on five receptions against Minnesota, 6 for 106 against the Giants, and then, of course, last week, 5 for 71 and a touchdown. He's 10th in the NFL in total receiving yards. He'll likely break 1,000 on Sunday. I think he's about 72 away from that. He got his career bet. Tied his career best of 6 touchdowns on Sunday as well. He's averaging 13.4 yards a catch. And when you talk about the development, a lot of that is Dak Prescott coming back, right? That he talked about developing that chemistry, getting in a groove. They still, for the life of them, can't get that over the middle pass down.
Working on it. They're working,
working on it. We're told they're working on it. In my gut, as a competitor, as someone who's been in a position where you're not quite competing for your spot, but someone's putting that pressure a little bit, to me, this almost feels like, with the timing of everything, that CeeDee was like, oh, we're bringing in Odell?
Yeah.
Let me ball out. And it just kind of has felt that way. And ever since, and that's why I started this whole conversation with, you know, he's never been disrespectful, but I feel like he's kind of had that extra fire lit under him. Do you guys see that? Or?
Oh, yeah. He's going out there, and he just looks like he wants it more. And even if you look at him during the games, he's also very active blocking. He's just getting his hands on people. You are starting to see him take that uptick into that, you know, that next echelon. He's also a beast on third down.
Mm-hmm.
He's becoming, you know, normally that was Dalton Schultz, and him and Dak kind of had a wonky game on Sunday, but normally that's Dalton Schultz. But CeeDee Lamb is also becoming Dak's go-to guy on third down, and that says something. It says something about his development. Also, too, credit to Kellen Moore for what he is doing with CeeDee Lamb. So many times we talk about CeeDee Lamb, and I felt like so many ways they were using him. It wasn't to the benefit of him as a player. Like, CeeDee Lamb's very hard to tackle in space. This guy has yak ability. It's one of the things that's one of the reasons why he drafted him, is mm-hmm. because he has the ability to make guys miss. And he is now being put in those positions. Kellen is motioning him a lot. It's dictating what the defense gives you, giving Dak a lot of information. It's exciting to also see not only CeeDee developing, but also Kellen Moore learning how to insert him and put him in positions to be dominant in games when you need him to be.
And not only that, but you talk about CeeDee's yards after contact and how that has been so effective.
On Sunday, he said, what contact?
Right. But I also think, you know, when it comes to CeeDee and his growth, a lot of that goes back to the Cowboys really honing in on the communication factor, the miscommunication factor that was really exposed, I think, the most during the Green Bay game, and then they had to hunker down on that, of course, being an issue. And so I think a lot of that is hunkering down, cleaning up that communication. I think it's building that rapport with Dak once again. And most importantly, I think CeeDee is just learning how to feel confident in what he's doing. And he is sticking to the basics of doing his job and doing it well and not overthinking. And a lot of this game is mental. And I know we always go back to that. But again, getting out of his own way to be the wide receiver one and owning that. And, you know, I think a lot of it, too, is this wide receiver core helps each other out. You have even James Washington, who's been, you know, injured, but in the ears of the wide receivers. And so I think it's interesting, like you said, Haley, the timing where this really amped up. But I think that also, personally, I think if Odell wasn't in the conversation, we would still be seeing this kind of productivity from CeeDee.
I agree. And I like to, I know we touched a little bit on Michael Gallup, but just his comfortability. It's so much fun. I tweeted this at the game on Sunday when he got his second touchdown. I mean, the first one, obviously, everyone was excited. But to see him find the end zone for the second time, the way the stadium just lit up.
Yeah.
For Michael Gallup. I mean, it's just incredible to see the growth from that room and the growth specifically from him. So just things to keep an eye out on as we continue to be on Odell Beckham watch. Anybody else stand out on the offense to you guys on Sunday and Sunday's game? That was a random one. We didn't talk about that.
I'm sorry.
I think what stood out for me, and here we go, take your shot, is the – where's your shot, everybody? All right, take your shot. But it's a good thing. I think what stood out the most to me was the work that, you know, I talked to Terrence Still and Tyler Smith last week about the penalty specifically and how you're hunkering down on that, what you're doing, what the problem is. And they all said, we just need to mentally focus more. And I think what – I was the most proud to see this team do was really lock in on that and show they're not just talk, they're putting action behind that, and the discipline really improving within that side of the game. For me, it was, I'm giving my flowers to Terrence Still and Tyler Smith because they were a real big focus on the penalty issue last week specifically.
For me, I'm sorry, honey bunny. I got excited.
No, get excited.
For me, it's the offensive line, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, this offensive line is starting to really... You can tell in games, and I actually talked to Tyler Biotish very briefly about this in the locker room, they can feel when they're dominating at the line of scrimmage. They can feel once they get in the rhythm, they're hard to stop. And this this offensive line, I really think, is they're a lot tougher. They are a lot tougher, more physical than last year, and I'm definitely seeing the improvement there. Tyler Smith had a heck of a game.
Yep.
He seems like he's getting his legs back under him from – all those games, and he's a young guy, like, you know, so I feel like he's getting his legs under him, and I'm impressed with the offensive line play.
I think it's so funny that you bring up Tyler Smith. So on Sunday, I was tweeting about the production of the rookie class and just how, like, anytime there was a play made, there was a 90% chance that it was going to be a rookie making the play. And so I tweeted out a list, and I was like, here's all these guys who are making an impact. Sam Williams, Jake Ferguson, Peyton Hendershot, Damone Clark, Deron Bland, and I ran out of characters. And we have...
Come on, Twitter.
We've seen Tyler Smith in this role for so long this season. Legitimately forgot that he was a rookie. Like, and it was no disrespect to not having him on that list. Like, I legitimately forgot. And when I tell you, Brad Sham poked a little bit of fun at me in the initial comment. He's like, Tyler Smith? And I'm like, oh my gosh. But, like, everyone in the comments was like, Tyler Smith, Tyler Smith, Tyler Smith. And I was like... Barnacles. I just didn't realize that he was a rookie. I forgot. So to your point, Aisha, I think it just really, it shows how much of an impact and how much growth he has made. This rookie class, y'all, is tremendous.
Yep.
I asked both Dak and Zeke just about how well they were playing. I know Dak talked about them earlier in the year being the most impressive rookie class he's seen. I don't think there's really an argument at this point. And I even asked CeeDee, you know, because CeeDee's not very far removed from being a rookie either. Yeah. And I said, you know, like, how impressive are these guys? Like, I mean, what's in the water in that rookie room? And
can
he's
we
like,
have some of that?
Yeah. He just, it was just so interesting to hear his perspective because he was like, you know, sometimes like I forget, you know, like how, that they're, you know, not that much younger than me. And so it's just interesting helping them be able to guide them in the right direction and also taking a page out of their book to help me. So a lot of accountability, a lot of impressive things that we learned from that Indianapolis game. But of course, as all things in the season, we have to turn the page to the Texans, which we're going to get into a little bit after our second break, but we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we have got a special guest in our hot seat. It is Tuesday here on Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. No, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Girls Talk Boys Talk. Jesse caught us off guard there. This is Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We have another special guest in our hot seat. We have Kalisha Stewart, the Deputy General Counsel. This is her seventh season with the Dallas Cowboys. She spends her time negotiating agreements, managing litigation, and using creative problem solving to mitigate risks. We're going to get to her in just one second, but first, let's go to Jess.
All right, let's talk Santa at the Star. Get your holiday photo with the one, the only Santa Claus at the Star, presented by Monument Realty. Santa Claus will be at his Cowboys-themed cottage in the Star District across from Ascension through December 24th. Visit thestardistrict.com/Santa for more information.
Thank you. I forgot about the reads, so that's just becoming a recurring theme
that's
for us.
That's okay. Here. You know what? We got it in there, so that's what matters.
Very fun. Do y'all have your pictures with Santa all scheduled?
You know what?
Do pets.
I did it last year, and I only had one dog back then. So now that I have two, the second one's a little wild. We're going to see how that goes. I don't know if he will. Witt's kind of
my dogs
kind of crazy.
Are terrified of Santa, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I might bring my service dog.
Yeah,
I bring Congo. He likes Santa.
I think it'd be cute.
Yeah, you guys got it. My dogs cannot. They're afraid of Santa. Yeah, they don't like it.
My dog's on the naughty list, so
I don't think I would bring her.
Well, Kalisha, we're so excited to have you join us today. We love this segment because it just allows whoever is sitting in that chair to share a little bit about yourself and your journey. So that's kind of where I want to start. These were a lot of big words that I wasn't anticipating reading. So give us the spark notes of what you do on a regular basis.
Yeah, so the spark notes of what I do on a regular basis really include negotiating and drafting contracts, managing disputes. And what that means is, you know, anytime you get 80,000 people together in a room, somebody's going to slip and fall. And so, you know, someone slips and falls on nacho cheese, wants us to pay, those sorts of disputes and things that are more serious as well. And then really helping to mitigate risk. And what I mean by that is a lot of questions we get are we allowed to do dot, dot, dot? And so my job is really to make sure that we're doing what we're allowed to do and trying to keep up with this team, which is a challenge because we've got a lot of creatives in the room. We've got a lot of fans that we like to reach in different and unique ways. And so our job is to keep the company out of trouble while allowing it to grow and to do what it wants to do.
Okay, Alicia, how did that even come up? And how did this journey lead you to, well, the Dallas Cowboys? And did you ever think that you could be doing this for the Cowboys?
No, it really was a surprise journey for me, for sure. I knew when I was in law school that I wanted to work in-house for a company that created something that mattered to its consumers. And that could have meant a lot of different things for me. When I was in law school, I wanted to get that experience. So I worked at Nike as an intern. I lived in Beaverton for a couple of months. And then when that internship was over, I politely begged for them to let me stay on and keep working for them remotely. And so I did that, and it really confirmed for me that working for a company that connects with its consumers was important. And so when this opportunity came around, it really was, wow, this is a culmination of everything that I was hoping for, and this brand is really special. I mean, even people that don't like the Cowboys, they feel so passionately about that.
Welcome to the club, girl.
So it really is exciting to be a part of that.
Did any of your other friends that you went to law school with, did they get into sports, or are they in different avenues as well?
Yeah, actually, I've got a great friend who's at the Minnesota Twins. She does my job there. And then I've got another friend in my law school class that does my job for the Miami Heat.
That's awesome to have, you know, some connections still. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool.
It is, yeah.
Who is it really in Miami?
Krista Whitaker.
Her name sounds familiar. I just moved from Miami, so my ears perked up in that.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
You have been here for 7 seasons now. Has this always been your role? Have you had to develop within the company, or how has your time over that 7 years changed?
Yeah, so what I love about working for the company is that they're really open to expanding your role. If you want to do more, try more, there's always support for that. You can really be an entrepreneur almost in your career here. And so when I first started, I hadn't been out of law school for very long. So I was associate counsel. I was the second lawyer that the company had. Since then, we've hired another attorney. So we've got 3 attorneys, we've got 3 paralegals, and a growing team. So I became deputy general counsel a couple of years ago. I ended up managing a paralegal, so I got some of that management experience, and she's amazing. She makes my job so easy. So my role has expanded over time. In addition to the title, when I first started, we were still headquartered at Valley Ranch. Mm-hmm. And so just this place itself and all of the businesses that have grown from it that we support has expanded my role just in that way as well.
Oh, that's amazing. And so what we love to do with this hot seat specifically is we love to empower and empower anybody who's watching. So obviously law school, incredible accomplishment within your life and within your career. What is your one message to anybody watching this that, you know, maybe wants to pursue something down this road and the same career avenue as you?
Yeah, so I think I would say to really, I mean, believing in yourself is really the biggest thing. We really can't underestimate how much control we have over our experience in life. And that's really driven by the way that we talk to ourselves, the stories that we tell about the things that happen. And so I think really paying attention to, are you encouraging yourself? For example, I don't do podcast interviews very often, so it can be very nerve-wracking, you know? And I think one way to approach that nervousness is say, oh, my God, what if I say something dumb? I'm actually going to tell Jazz that I'm sick. Like, I don't want to even show up. The other way to look at it is, you know, I'm nervous. That must mean I care about doing a good job. And, you know, isn't it neat that in my job I have these opportunities to do things that are scary and different? And so by paying attention to the way that you're talking to yourself, the way that you're encouraging yourself, I think it really improves the experience of your life, but it really expands what you're able to accomplish.
I think that's such an important message, especially for women in this business to hear, because there's so often, we were just joking right before the show, someone left a comment on our tweet that we put out every time. It's like, stop trying to make this a thing. It's not a thing. And so we're to the point now where it's like, okay, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, to your point, there's two ways of looking at that. And so I love that that is your perspective and that's your takeaway. Has it always been your perspective, or did it take some time to develop that thinking?
Well, to your point about getting that feedback, I think one thing that's always important to remember, and I think in my role as a lawyer too, is that strong voices attract, but they also repel. And by having this platform, that's just a natural thing that comes along with it. But, you know, as a fan of our podcast and as a fan of this podcast, part of the reason why I'm nervous is is that y'all are great examples of what it means to do work and be in this business. In terms of your question about had it always been that way, no, I think that that way of looking at life comes from experience and really a lot of introspection about, like, is this working for me? What's going on? And therapy, which I think everyone can benefit from.
Love that. Yes. Love a good therapy session.
We do love a good therapy session.
Love a comfy couch.
Yes. Yep.
What are some of the challenges that you face? I'm sure there's probably a plethora, but what are some of the ones that you've had to work through here?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I think the challenge of this job is that there's a lot of work. So we do the work for all the Jones family businesses, and they have a lot. And we have a pretty small legal team. And so in order to get everything done, you have to work fast. But by that same token, you know, what good is your legal department if they're giving you bad advice? So we have to be careful. And as much as possible, we have to be right. And so sometimes when you're working fast and you have to be careful, that those things can be in tension, and that tension creates pressure. And so I would say that the biggest challenge is the pressure of that. And I know that's true for a lot of folks, but the way that we deal with that in our department is that we have a really great culture of trust. And that starts really at the top with our general counsel, Jason Cohen. So we trust each other. We support each other. And we really do our best to make it through.
I love that you bring up pressure, because diamonds are made under pressure. And so what is something very valuable that you've learned about yourself throughout those situations of being put under that pressure and throughout this time here?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think the lesson that comes back over and over again is trusting yourself. And I think that's where confidence comes from. It's not, you know, thinking way highly of yourself, which is great if you can get it. But true confidence comes from trusting that even when things may not go well or may not go right, even if you do make a mistake, trusting that things are going to be okay, trusting that that's something that you can bounce back from. And so that pressure really has given me opportunities to develop that trust and resilience in myself as a person and as an attorney.
Did you grow up a Cowboys fan? Are you really, like, even into football? You never know.
No, it's a good question.
No, I was thinking about that too. I was wondering.
Yeah.
So I'm from San Antonio, Texas, which is huge Cowboys country. We've got, I mean, right behind the Spurs, which of course those are our hometown heroes. But I mean, the Cowboys even used to do training camp in San Antonio. So we've got a really loyal following there. So have certainly been around it. Now I will say that my appreciation and love for the Cowboys increased as I worked here. Like anything, the more that you understand it and can really appreciate it, the more you love it. And so that fandom has really developed over time.
What is something that you hope to accomplish that you haven't already accomplished in this role?
Oh, that's such a wonderful question. I definitely know that I have a lot to learn, and that's why I'm really happy here, because the family keeps investing in building new businesses and there's new things to learn. The company also offers opportunities to grow as a person. Even doing an interview like this is a great example of that. So I think one thing I'd love to accomplish that you know, maybe still is a work in progress is continuing to develop as a leader, as you know, in a servant leadership capacity, and really be someone that our employees can look to and trust, and that they can come and share their challenges, share their triumphs. That's certainly the role that I want to play here.
Kalisha, you are such a treat. My sister is a lawyer as well, so I love that this was an opportunity to shed light. I hope she's listening to this, because I know you guys have so much in common. So thank you for being with us today. Thank you for joining us in our hot seat.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Kalisha Stewart, Deputy General Counsel. We will be right back on Girls Talk Boys Talk to talk a little Dallas Cowboys defense after this break.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. Now, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
With Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King, rule the day.
Welcome back to Girls Talk, Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw. We're going to talk a little Dallas Cowboys defense, but first we're going to listen to Jess do some reading.
Well, experience the most electrifying event of the holiday season, Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza, every Friday and Saturday night through December 17th. This is powered by Reliant. Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza unites the star in Frisco with an unforgettable holiday performance showcasing the world-renowned Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, your favorite Dallas Cowboys heroes, and, of course, Santa Claus. Clause 2. Visit thestardistrict.com/Christmas for more information.
It's so funny you read that. I have to do that read for both of my shows, Flashback and Rewind.
Yeah.
And so you reading it, I'm like, Dallas Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza ignites the star in Frisco.
You were reading along with me.
So funny. I would like to get out there, though. It seems really cool. It's always packed on Fridays, though, so I'm ready to get out of the building. But I'm hoping to get there before it is done.
It looks beautiful. Yeah. I mean, that tree over there, I seen beautiful it. In I itself, so I can't even imagine. Lights are beautiful.
I seen
lights
it. Pretty.
What'd you say?
I seen it.
You went?
I seen it.
Okay.
Why?
Is that a word?
Y'all, it's from The Office.
I don't watch The Office, girl.
My bad. All right, anyway.
Girl, what?
Kalisha was dope.
Yeah. Kalisha was great. Amazing. And I love, too, just the perspective that she gives, because it's not always about, like, the X's and O's. I know we do a lot of X's and O's chat and the football side of things, but it's always really cool just to hear from, you know, the other people in the building who do other work besides what we do.
This is such an important part of this building. I mean, just doing what she does, it's just interesting to meet somebody that does that. It was cool.
And put faces to just different aspects within the Cowboys organization, because even just being in the building every day, you kind of don't realize how many moving parts there are to it, like, until you meet people like Kalisha and just everybody we've had in the hot seat, and then you just have a deeper appreciation for what goes on here. So. Yeah, we love her. She was great.
We liked Kalisha. We've had a lot of really great guests. We have a few minutes left. I want to transition us into talking about the Houston Texans. Y'all, I'm not going to lie. There's not a ton to talk about with this team. Point blank period, they are not good at football this year. They are not good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Jazzy, the last time they met was in 2018. Houston did win in double overtime, 19-16. But a fun fact, 19 points is the most points that the Texans has ever scored against the Cowboys. They've done that twice. So I don't anticipate that being an issue this time around, but with the Cowboys, particularly on their defensive side, obviously that's been the strong suit of this team, but really the spotlight put on the secondary on Sunday, whether it was Malik Hooker having a huge game against his former team, Deron Bland stepping up, and now we've got to start talking about Kelvin Joseph with Anthony Brown being out with an Achilles rupture. So I wrote down a list of guys as I was talking about this with the Anthony Brown injury, because a lot of the conversation was, oh, well, like Deron Bland is playing so well, like he'll slide right in to play for Anthony Brown. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is like he's already doing that. You know, when we lost Jordan Lewis to the Lions, like Deron Bland's been in the game. So now, to me, it's where can we find that extra layer? Dan Quinn talked about Kelvin Joseph being that next man up. He's got the most experience, and I say that only because he's only been here for a couple seasons. So, you know, you've got this list. You've also got Nashon Wright and Israel Mukwamu, who did play corner in college. He's played more safety here with the Cowboys. But I think if you were going to have a time to do some experimenting, this would be the week to do it. The Texans are not great at the pass. I think if the run defense continues to operate on the ways that they've been doing over the last couple of weeks, very similar to the Colts, you force Davis Mills to throw, and he has proven to throw interceptions. He's had 11 this season, only behind Matt Ryan, who has 13. They've thrown 15 total interceptions this season. They're 27th in total passing yards per game. They have the second lowest QBR at 22.6. And I think the worst stat on this list is that the quarterback completion rate is 61%.
Oof.
So when we talk about mixing in guys.
Sorry, I wasn't expecting that.
I didn't mean that.
No, it's bad. That's why I teed it up at the beginning.
Well, so there's that. And there's another one, too, that I wanted to throw in there from Mike Pullen, a fellow BTBer of mine. He said in the last three games, the Cowboys are scoring an average of 41 points in a game, the best in the NFL. In the last three games, the Texans are averaging 13 points a game, second worst in the NFL. So another oof.
Yeah, it's just they're not great. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They're not great. okay. But again, like it's not it's very similar to the Colts where like the Colts were not. They weren't great either. They were better, but they weren't great. And so it's one of those games where you don't want it to become a trap game for sure.
No.
But again, when you're looking at how you're going to, I think at this point you're looking ahead to the playoffs. Everything that you're doing, counting down to that Eagles game, is how can we get ready for the postseason? And I think this is a perfect opportunity to start mixing some guys in for Anthony Brown, starting with Kelvin Joseph. I know we've had talks about Kelvin. He makes me nervous because he's like a bucking Bronco, right? Where like he just is flying full speed. Yeah. He's going to give you absolutely everything that he has, which is so positive, but he needs some polishing.
Yeah.
But I think that this is a good opportunity for him to kind of get in there and get that polishing this week.
No, you're absolutely right. With the Jags coming up, obviously they do actually have a few guys, but in these next two games, with the Cowboys trying to figure out things, even with Tyron coming back at left tackle, if you're going to be working out these things and seeing who's going to be the gentleman, you know, opposite of Trayvon or whatever the case may be, it's the perfect time. It is the perfect time. And when you talk about a Kelvin Joseph, I'm one of the people that definitely thinks he needs the opportunity to get the reps, to get a feel for the game. So many instances he goes in, he's coming right back out, vice versa. He has the opportunity to get the prime snaps in practice. Like, this is his opportunity. It's right now. I said it before the season, for a lot of guys on this roster, it's a prove-it year. And that's one of those situations for him, because they're going to try to work other guys in. One of my concerns, though, is with special teams. Say what you want to say, but Kelvin Joseph has been fantastic as a gunner, minus when he's getting penalties. He's been fantastic.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Fantastic next to C.J. Goodwin. C.J. Goodwin, you know, got a little banged up that game. With Nashon Wright, it sounds like he would be stepping in as that secondary guy. So it's a trickle-down effect. So with Nashon Wright, if he is one of those guys, if he's battling for that two spot, maybe he gets it, then that changes what's going on with your special teams coverage as well. And I feel like, especially this past game, it wasn't the best that it's been. So that's just another area that I'm worried about, with DB being so weird right now also.
I think for Kelvin Joseph, it's a discipline issue more than anything. And, you know, shout out to Chris for sending me this beautiful little website of penalty information galore. But he is now officially, after last week's game, the second most penalized player within the Dallas Cowboys. He has 6 penalties so far, averaging less than 1 penalty a game for 69 yards. And then, let's see, it's a face mask, unnecessary roughness. He has one of those, 1 offensive holding, 1 illegal blindside block, 1 defensive
reckless
pass interference, and 1 fair catch interference. So a little bit of a plethora of issues within that. So I think for me, the worry is cleaning up the
self-discipline and the mental focus that we hear these guys talk about in and out, day in and day out, is that. And I think a lot of it, honestly, is on the job training of the mental focus for him. So I think at this point, it should be more cleaned up, but it's now or never for him. This is his now or never time. You step up, you do it, you clean it up, or you don't. And time will tell. But keeping a very close eye on the self-discipline and accountability on his end.
On the plus side, you do get a guy that is willing to come up and tackle. You get a guy. Yeah. And there were instances, too, in that game. I mean, he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him, but he was close in coverage. It's a lot of time and stuff, too. Like, these mental reps and stuff matter, like you said. And even with the discipline stuff, like, hopefully the more he's on the field, he gets it. But the secondary, the safeties that are so important to the secondary are definitely going to have to step up and possibly help out in areas with that young guy being over there, because we have seen in multiple games that people don't even want to look at Trayvon. Mm-hmm. And it's to a point to where he's like, oh, you throw the ball to me? Like, surprise. Like, I'm surprised myself. So this is an important part of the defense. It is. It's an important part of the defense. I'm just interested to see how Dan Quinn fixed this one, how he works around this one. He has the capability. You have the pass rush as well to kind of mediate you having a young guy out there. It's everyone got something right now. Every team got something right now. So,
yeah, I was just wrapping up with Kelvin Joseph, 10 tackles this season. And to your point, he had his best game against the Packers, where he stepped in for Anthony Brown in that game as well, where he had 5 tackles and he had a forced fumble in that game. He's coming off of a 2-tackle performance and a pass deflection. So you mentioned him not being afraid to get up and tackle. I think this is, like I said off the top, he's going to have opportunities. And then on the flip side of that, when you talk about Deron Bland, you know, guys aren't targeting Trayvon anymore. But now all of a sudden, Deron Bland is snatching balls.
Snatching it.
Snatching balls out of players' hands. I mean, and we talked about just the finesse that this rookie class has. I think he is one of the top rookies at this team, a steal in the 5th round that they got from him. So he had his career game on Sunday. Just a lot of things to look forward to in that secondary. And you mentioned as well with the line, Tyron Smith being able to come back and work his way in.
Maybe practicing this week?
Mike did tell us on Monday. Thank you.
No padded practice, though.
No padded practices this week, but he more than likely will have his window activated on Wednesday.
And I think that was indicated, too, during Sunday's game when you saw the O-line rotation happening during the game with that on-the-field rep and those on-the-field practice reps and on-the-job training. So I think that was kind of preparing for it. So that'll be something to watch out for.
Yeah, something to pay attention to. Me and Mickey Spagnola on Press Conference Live yesterday spoke about how the earliest we would likely see Tyron Smith would be earliest the Eagles game, because Mike said that he wants to see him in a couple of padded practices, and that would kind of be the earliest. But we'll see how that develops. We'll obviously get to chat about it a little bit more tomorrow. Something else to pay attention to that I'm going to be looking at practice tomorrow is Kendall Sheffield. Of course, they added him earlier in the season, and he's on the practice squad. McCarthy told us yesterday that he likes what he's offered so far. He's likely a guy who's going to step up and get reps. So we'll see if he also gets elevated to help out that room. So a lot of things for us to look forward to that we will chat about coming up tomorrow on Girls Talk, Boys Talk. But as always, a fabulous conversation with you two ladies.
Yep.
That'll do it for us here on this Tuesday edition of Girls Talk, Boys Talk. We will see you tomorrow.
Bye. This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys? Yeah!